And on our flyer that you see on the big board is the correct times. We are helping Kennedy Hilton. She is doing a senior project where she's acquiring things for a pet shelter. We had a couple cats that were here for her this morning. They had not heard, but Sheila, you took care of the cats, right, there at your house? Being fed, that's all right. We had a couple cats that decided that they needed Jesus, and they just been around for a little bit. And so, with Kennedy from 8:30 to 10:30 on Monday and 9 o'clock to 11:30 on Tuesday, you can drop items off here for her senior project, which is for the pet shelter. Okay, good. It is really good to see Clay. If you don't even know him, just go ahead and clap hands for Jesus anyway. Good to see you, buddy. For those of you that do not know, Clay was on his motorcycle and someone hit him, knocked the motorcycle over 100 feet. And he's here to tell the story, okay? But he's going to go through surgery this week. Now, here's the thing we really want to pray for. His shoulder has been immobile for several months. What we're praying for is that the Lord would touch it. They're finally going to be able to do surgery this week. We are grateful for everything they will do with the surgery. Our prayer is, may the Lord take his hand beyond the ability of humans and cause him to be able to have mobility, because we might get broken motorcycles and we need Clay to be able to fix them, okay? So, for real, these days, the days ahead in his life, just that the Lord would intervene, and we're just looking for mobility to be in that shoulder. Number two is Grayson is back in the back, or he's over there, or he's over there, or he may be there, and then he'll be over there. But he's here with us today. Usually on Sundays he is. Over the past couple of weeks, really hopeful things. He has been accepted in a special program in Cincinnati Children's Hospital, so they're going to continue to work with him. We thank the Lord for that. May just grace that he's gotten into the program. May that be good and do good work, but we're asking that the Lord would do supernatural work and just touch him and continue to release life into his body. Amen? Good. I just think God can do just about anything. What do you think? And so let's just ask him. There are just too many miracles in this room for us not to believe in miracles. If you want to come in here and tell us not to believe in miracles, you're too late, because there's too many of us that have seen them already, right? And that just gives us hope. If God can do it for one, guess what? He'll do it for another. Other than me, but which person in this room do you think God loves the most? I know that I'm up there first, so you guys can you can battle in between. Anybody ever been raised by a child, by a parent that had a favorite child? I'm just trying to stir up your childhood traumas a little bit. If you were the child, you deny it, and if you are not the child, you know that mom and dad just liked them better. And I was raised in a house with five boys, one girl. You tell me who you think the favored child was, right? But who do you think God loves more? Yeah, that's exactly true. I think the answer is yes. There is a humanity. If there's a barcode, I thought one time about making a t-shirt that just has a barcode on it and go, all of humanity, guys, the same price has been paid for all of us, and it is Christ. Your idea of what is or is not a good day is it going well for you or not. Your idea of what is a good day is that God has given his son on our behalf, and that is effective every day, whether it seems good or bad. So God being good isn't based on if I had a good day. God being good is based on he gave our son, or his son, that we could be with him forever. That is like amazing. And so when we look at testimonies of God doing amazing things among us, we go, that's just a prophecy. If he's done it once, that's just a prophecy. He can do it again. And it gives us hope as we pray for somebody else. Isn't that not true? Good. Well, bless you guys. There's a guy, I'm going to run to a place in Scripture, but I'll tell you the story. There's a guy, he's a biblical scholar, and he came into an encounter where he saw a guy die gracefully. It shook him. He's a biblical scholar. He knows the Bible. He has much of it memorized. He sees it one way. And then there's this tragic event. He watches a guy die. When he watches the guy die, the guy starts glowing. I mean, he just can't, he goes, there's a brightness that's on this person as they're dying. I don't get it. And later, he encounters the Lord, gets born again, and he goes, I'm a biblical scholar, but I don't understand the Bible because I have studied the Bible without Jesus. And the story of the Bible is Jesus, right? And so okay, I'm getting excited. And so he goes out in the desert. He's studying the scripture, trying to reorient his mind toward the scripture with Christ in the middle. Okay? As that is happening, you're not going to believe this, but it's documented. As that is happening, Jesus himself shows up to the Apostle Paul. It is not a vision. It is Jesus in resurrected form is right there talking to him. Now, Paul tells us the Lord appeared to me in the Arabian desert, and he talks about some things. There is only one thing he talks about specifically. The Lord showed me this when he appeared to me. Some people play musical chairs. We play musical mics around here. Okay? And so Paul tells us, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and he goes, the thing that Jesus told me about was communion. Of all the things that the Lord may have taught him about the Lord, here the Lord's teaching him from the Old Testament, this is what it meant, this is what it meant, this is what it meant. It was prophesying and pointing toward me. Of all the things that the Lord tells Paul to tell the church, and he goes, I want you to tell them this. I want you to write it down. It will be inscripturated from the time I ascended till the time I come back. I want them to know about communion. Do you think communion might be important in heaven? It's important in heaven, okay? And he goes, there are two directives. I'm going to give you two directives. He doesn't tell you how often to do it. He tells you what to do when you do it, okay? You can take communion every day. That'll be legal. Baptists, we go once a month, first Sunday of the month, okay? That's just our tradition. Nothing scriptural about that. He goes, as often as you want to do it. I've had times in my life where I went to take communion every day. I've had other times once a week. You choose. He goes, but as often as you do it, two directives. Let me tell you the two directives, then we'll read the scripture, okay? Here's directive number one. Is every time you take communion, there's a twofold purpose. Purpose number one is remember the Lord. So whenever I come to the communion table, the purpose is to remember. Now I'm going to remember what Jesus did on the cross. That's B. That's point B. Point A is remember Christ. I remember him, then I remember what he did on the cross. I don't think about Jesus died on the cross for me without thinking about Jesus died on the cross for me. Does that make sense? It is a personal thing, that a personal person, there is a man, Christ Jesus, that died on the cross. Here's what he says. As often as you do this, do it remembering what? Me. He's not going to say, remember what I did. He's going to say, you remember me. Now, when I remember you, I will remember what you did. Okay? So number one is I'm going to remember. Remember who he is, and B, remember what he's done. Okay? Then secondly, what he's going to tell us is there are two things. One is you remember. Two is you declare. And he's going to use the word you pronounce, you do show forth. One guy said it like this. I like this. He goes, when you take communion or when you get baptized, you preach in pictures that are louder than words. I could say Christ in you is the hope of glory. I could say that. But when you come to communion and you take in your body the symbol of his blood and his body, you go, oh, Christ is in me. When we take communion, there is elements are outside of you. Then our deacons will give you some instruction. And then they will say, take, eat. The element is outside of you. And then the element is inside of you. Symbol. Ask the question, am I in Christ or is Christ in me? And the answer is, yes. I'm in Christ, but Christ is in me. And now there was a time Christ was outside of me and I was outside of Christ. Then I take communion. It reminds me Christ is in me. I am in Christ. That's now. There was a then. There was a then when I was not in Christ and Christ was not in me, but that's never going to be that way again. Because I came to Christ, because Christ came to me, I'm in Christ. Tina, just go ahead and shout or say amen or something. There we go. Does that stir your heart? Okay, so communion reminds us, I'm in Christ, Christ is in me. He goes, one is you are reminded, two, you declare or you show forth. And so we are preaching the best message we could ever preach when we say his body was broken for us, his blood was shed for us, right? And you make a declare. Now, this will be point four. I'm going to preach 4 points. I have 20 sub-points under each point. Don't worry, it'll be a long time. No, I've reached 4 points. I'm saving the mystery of this statement. It's a very mysterious statement. I'm saving the mystery of the statement for point four. Will you give me the scripture page? If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to go in verse 23. I'm going to catch you up to where I've talked about so far. I'm going to go to this last statement. This statement is extremely mysterious. For I received, verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, from the Lord, that's what he's saying, I was out in the desert, Jesus appeared to me. Okay? I received from the Lord what I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, when he had given thanks. So he thanks, then he break it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. And I want you to see the shade of scripture. Jesus' body on the earth had a purpose, and that purpose was you 2,000 years later. That word you is open-ended to anyone that will come to him and believe in him, that his body was what? Broken for you. Okay? This is my body, which is for you. Do this in what? Remembrance of me. What are the two things I remember? Every time I come to communion, I look up here and I go, oh, Welch's grape juice and styrofoam wafer sundae. No, that's not what I say. It's not about the elements. What is it about? What is it about? It is remembering. What am I remembering? I am remembering Christ, right? Now, B is, communion's always going to, I'm going to remember Christ, and then I'm going to go, oh, I remember Christ died for me. So So what am I remembering? Who he is, what he's done. I'm remembering Christ. I'm remembering Christ dying on the cross. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, now this is interesting, this is the new covenant in my blood. What do we call this? What do we call Michelangelo's painting on the Sistine Chapel in Italy? What do we call that? Yeah. And because Michelangelo said it was the Last Supper, what have people been calling it? Yeah. And Jesus goes, this is the last time. Listen to me, because we're going to point toward this in just a minute. This is the last time that he will eat as a man on the earth. So we say Last Supper. But do you know Jesus never called it the Last Supper? Jesus called it the First Supper. I want you to think about that for a minute. He takes the cup and he goes, hey guys, we are entering into a new covenant. This is the first time this covenant will be expressed in the earth, is around this table. When you come to this table now at this time, look what Jesus is saying, now at this time you have come into the new covenant. And where is that new covenant? Is it external or is it internal? It's internal. Where does the meal go? It goes, this is a new covenant. In the old covenant, where was the law of God written? He goes, oh, it's written on stones. In the new covenant, where's the law of God written? It is written on your heart. You were dealing with God externally. Now you are dealing with God internally. And what Jesus said is, if you can leave you, I'll leave you. But since you can't leave you, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Well, go ahead and forsake you. You just leave you. Give that a good try. You go, well, I tried to leave me and I couldn't leave me because where I was, there I is. I don't get it. What are you talking about? And Jesus goes, we are in a new covenant where I am on inside. Anybody want to get closer to God? Okay, try all you want. You can't. Do you know you can't get closer to you than you is? Is that not true? Watch what he said. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing what I will try to do that I don't get done and then blame God for it. God, would you be with me? Do you know that prayer can never be answered? When I pray, God be with me, that prayer can never be answered. So I'll feel like God's not with me. Then I'll pray it again. Oh, God, be with me. Oh, God, you're not with me. And I will walk around in a frustrated circle trying to get an answer to a prayer that's already been answered that can never be answered again. Because Jesus said, I'm in a new covenant with you. I'm going to live inside you. Every time you take this cup, you are to remember my blood was shed on a cross that I would be eternally in an internal covenant with you forever. Internal and eternal. Okay, so it's not only the Last Supper, it's also what? The First Supper. In their culture, in Middle Eastern culture, you cut covenants. You made a covenant. Today we call it a contract. We call it a contract. We still do business. We just do it contract. A contract is when you are exchanging for the purpose of a thing. Does that make sense? I'll give you this, you give me that. I'll give you money, I'll give you X amount of dollars, you give me the house. Contractual, right? Covenantal is, it is personal and individual. We are in covenant with one another, therefore we exchange goods. Do you see the difference? There's a difference between a covenant and a contract. Jesus is saying, my relationship with you is not contractual. My relationship with you is covenantal. In the Old Testament, it was contractual in some level. There were covenants, but every one of those covenants is pointing to this covenant, the new covenant, and today we're going to celebrate that. Amen. I love covenantal theology, and I would love to preach for about 4 hours. You would get tired at hour number two, so I'm going to move right on. Okay? This is my body. Do in remembrance of me. The cup is the covenant. Do this as oft as you drink it. Do what? remember me. Now let's look at the pregnant statement. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim. Do what? You proclaim what? The Lord's death. The mystery of the word proclaim will be point number four. That word proclaim means you announce, you demonstrate, you give a show. When you take communion, you are announcing, demonstrating, and giving a show. You are pronouncing, and it is public. He goes, you're making a public pronouncement of what? What is the pronouncement of? The death of the Lord. So when we take communion, what are we preaching right now? We're going to come into communion just a little bit, and we're going to preach a sermon at this table. What's the sermon we are preaching? Jesus died. Do you get it? I mean, I'm not trying to ask a question that I'm not trying to trick you. Sometimes I do try to trick you, so then you won't answer questions, right? Okay, so what is it saying? When we take communion, what are we proclaiming? Jesus died. Two interesting things on this. One is, it's saying, Jesus died. It's a pronouncement. Here's Greek language on that. I'll get to four, I'll answer it. It's also a denouncement. Now that's interesting. It is saying, I am for something. To be for something, I'm also against something else. Now, I don't want to start a civil war, but if I am for IU, what am I against? Come on, you guys know. Yeah. We just talk about this thing at football season. We don't talk about it at basketball season, all right? Okay, but if I am for Purdue, what am I against? Generally, not always. I'm a chameleon. I'm IU at football, Purdue at basketball. Okay, and then if IU gets better at basketball, I'll change my mind. No, here's the deal. Every time you say yes to something, this is highly important. When you say yes to something, you have to say no to some other things. When you say no to something, it leaves room to say yes to something else. Yes and no are connected. Guys, listen. There is a this side of the fence and there's a that side of the fence. You're either for or against, and if you're on the fence, I want you to know the devil owns the fence. So if you're on the fence, you're on the devil's side. Right? So here's what he says. When you come and you take communion, you are announcing, I'm on Jesus' side. He sets the table, we eat at the table. Does that make sense? Come on. He prepares a table for me in the midst, and that word is, it says presence, the midst is, it means country, smack dab in the middle. Right in the middle of my enemies, God prepares a table. I'm going to tell you something. Some of the meals God gives you, you will not get till the enemy shows up. Look at me really weird. There is some trouble that causes you to eat from the table of the Lord that you would never eat that particular grace from God unless you had the trouble you went through. I've been through some trouble in my life. I'm not happy over the trouble. I'm not praying again for the trouble. I don't want that kind of trouble. I don't want any kind of trouble. It would be nice tomorrow if I never had any trouble, right? But what I learned about God in the midst of my trouble was worth the trouble, and I would never go back to not knowing God like I did not know him before I had the trouble. So what does David say, Psalm 23? In the presence of my enemies, my God prepares a table. Now, let me tell you something. The enemy cannot eat from that table. There's a line of demarcation. God made it for me, not for my enemies. And here's what's going to happen. God will force the enemy to watch me eat from the table that will give me strength to defeat the enemy, and there is nothing the enemy can do about it except take it. What is that meal? That meal is Christ. And those that partake of Christ cannot be defeated because of Christ. What will happen is what the enemy meant to overcome them will literally give them the strength to overcome the enemy. When I was a kid, we had Thanksgiving. My cousins were coming from far away. We could not eat until they got there. Anybody remember those days? I'm hungry. House is full of good smells. And we are waiting for, I didn't even care if I saw my cousins, but I wanted them to come. Guess why? Guess why? We'll talk about talking to you later after you get here. It's like when, by the time you're, anybody remember station wagon? By the time your station wagon door shuts, we're going to be saying amen, and it's eat time. Yeah, let me show you something. Let me show you something. Do you know that God says there are some meals I don't serve until your enemy shows up? And I go, God, I'm trying to avoid trouble. And he goes, nah, there's some good grace in the middle of trouble. And so watch what he's going to say. This is mysterious. It's interesting. He goes, when you partake, you pronounce and you denounce. I made that word up. You are pronouncing, I am for you. And you are declaring that the enemy is defeated when you take the meal. So let me run through. I'll just mention, I was going to preach, but I'm going to mention. Okay. Four things that we remember and we declare when we take communion. Two of them, I want to spend a minute. But I think I've, anybody's heart just stirred up? You just feel the Holy Spirit stirring your heart up? Good. Then we'll take communion. One is that his presence is always with us. What we remember and what we declare when we take communion is the presence of God is always with me. I am in a new covenant. I'm not in an old way of life. I don't have to run to church to hear God. Come on, isn't that great? Aren't you grateful for that? I love to come to church. I love being with y'all, but I can have God without y'all and without this building, right? Where is Jesus? And I'll go, he's in me. He's up, but where is Jesus? He is, that's this, Christ is in me. He will never leave me. So I celebrate when I come to communion. I remember and I declare his presence is with me. Number two, I declare the cross. And I want you to hear me just for a moment. I would love to go forever on this right here. And I can go forever and ever on what I'm about to mention. But I'm going to mention it briefly. I want it to be succinct so you can see it in your mind. We declare the cross when we come to communion. Now, I want you to see Jesus on the cross. We got a cross, okay? Jesus is on the cross in the scripture. Where is the Father? Where is the Father? Above. So you see Jesus, and here's what he said. When I am lifted up, I will draw men to me. Do you remember that in the Bible? Lifted up is Jesus is suspended between heaven and earth as an intercessor that says you can get to God through me. Does that make sense? You can come to the one that's been lifted up between the Father and the people, between heaven and earth. Someone has been lifted up. If you will come to him, he will be the intercessor that is God at the same time that he is man. He can bring together God in one hand, man in the other hand. Amen. He is the God-man who is man and is God, has been lifted up. So the Father is over him. Does that make sense? Now, who's to his right and who's to his left? There are two thieves. Now, here's what I want you to think about. One of the thieves comes to him. The other thief, what? Did not come to him. Now, watch. He says to the one that came to him, this day you will be with me in paradise. I am taking you to my Father because you believed in me. You did not believe in me, will not believe in me. You will not have access to my Father. Below him is a crowd. In the crowd are some ladies. Those ladies and the Apostle John are worshiping him, loving him, honoring him. On the cross, they now have access to the Father that is in heaven. Guys, there was a Roman-trained killer that is at the foot of the cross, that as Jesus is dying on the cross, spontaneously the sun quit shining. The earth started shaking. It split open. Let me say it like this. And the rocks cried out. He breathes his last breath and the lights come back on. And a serial killer, trained Roman soldier, says, surely this is God's son. Watch. When he saw that morning, he didn't call him God's son. That morning, he wasn't thinking about him. But when he saw the cross, his heart is changed and he sees something that he has never seen before. That is God's son. Now let me show you something. Jesus is suspended between men and the devil. The Bible calls the devil the prince of the power of darkness, one place. What's the other one? The air, space, second heaven. The devil is in power. Humanity is in deception. Humanity has been deceived. They are walking away from God. They do not believe the only way, which is Jesus on the cross. And Jesus is suspended on his cross between the devil and humanity. In Genesis chapter 3, when the devil tempts Eve in the garden, in verse 15, the Bible says, and you will bruise his heal and he will crush your head. And I'd like to take 4 hours. I'm going to take 3 minutes. Isaiah 53:5 says, by his bruises, our iniquities are forgiven. By his stripes, we are healed. He was bruised for our iniquities. Genesis 3 says that he will bruise the head of the devil. 1 John 3, chapter 8 says, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Revelation chapter 12 says, and they, Christians, overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Where was the Lamb's blood shed? On the cross, between the kingdom of darkness and humanity, comes Jesus on the cross, standing between our judgment and the power that owned us. The strong man came and encapsulated, is the story Jesus said. And then he goes, but one stronger than the strong man came and bound him. And now the captives can go free. When we take communion, we remember and we declare his presence. Number two, his passion, dying on the cross. Number three, we remember the power that sets us free. And number four, we remember the promise. Now, watch this. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Are you a Christian? You've been in church. Maybe you've heard the gospel. But if you take a nobody never heard nothing and you say that sentence right there, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Because here's what it says. A dead man told me to eat this meal until the dead man comes again. What's the problem with that, logically? Dead men don't come again. Why? They dead. They gone. They ain't coming back. Ain't nobody has to worry about a dead man coming again. But mysteriously, Jesus says, listen to me. You do this until I come again. And then he throws it in when he's talking to the disciple. This is talking to Paul. You can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He throws this thing in. He goes, I will not drink of this cup until I drink it anew with you in my kingdom. This meal we're about to partake of is a reminder. There is a meal. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. This is a prophecy of the meal we will eat again with him in heaven. We remember and we proclaim Christ is with us. We remember and we proclaim Christ died for us. We remember and we proclaim that death has given power that we overcome in this life. We remember and we proclaim that he is coming again and that we will be with him forever. Isn't that like amazing good news? And so here's going to be the prayer. Lord, when we come to this communion table, your grace be with us. Your power be over us. May your presence, your power, and your promises sustain us in this life until we are with you again. Amen. Let's pray. Our worship team is going to come. We're going to partake of communion. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the grace that is over us at this moment. Lord, we thank you for a power that has set us free. We thank you for a life that has been laid down, suspended between heaven and earth, suspended between man and man, suspended between the enemy and those that he had overcome. And you died for us, and you resurrected for us. And you live ever listening to us. And we come now to celebrate your presence, your passion, your power, your promise. May it strengthen with might in the inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
This table, this meal, is based on the very first Passover. The very first Passover when the Hebrews were rescued from slavery in Egypt. And after they got out of